The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Page 86 of the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. I will now read. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Amen." Among the works of novelist Choi In-ho, who passed away last September, is a 4-volume novel called Road Without a Road. This novel was a serial from 1989 to 1991 and later put together as a book. Choi In-ho became a Catholic in 1987 and received the baptismal name of Peter. But this novel deals with the life of monk Kyung-ho, who is renowned as a new interpreter of modern Buddhism. According to the content, as a student, Kyung-ho was so drowsy, he was often scolded by his teacher monk. But upon seeing that Kyung-ho could answer any question his teacher gave him, the teacher realized Kyung-ho was special and did not scold him anymore. Kyung-ho reached the heights of his study but realized it was never perfect. And he stayed in his room, facing the wall, practicing meditation. Part of the novel reads like this. Kyung-ho's face was covered in blood and wounds. Wounds kept appearing, new blood kept on covering older tracks, so that his face was that of a ghost. Kyung-ho sat with an ice pick propped under his chin. If he drowsed even briefly, the sharp point of the pick would pierce his face and chin. The pick had already pierced his face and chin many times, so that blood flowed over his face and chin, making him look terrible, like a ghost. His gruesome figure brought to mind one word, to stab oneself with a pick, inchu chaja. In order to carry out what he could not achieve through study, and to reach his own heights and the depths of satisfaction, Kyung-ho even stabbed himself with a pick and practiced hardship and asceticism. Not only Kyung-ho in the novel, but many other high monks wished to reach the heights of nirvana and practiced changja burwa, or not even lying down when they were sleeping. I respect the lives of these monks who did not shy away from extreme pain and tried to reach nirvana through suffering. It is because I feel I can't do the same in my own life. I sometimes think, what if, like the monks, I endure pain to let go of my selfishness and greed and love the Lord and deny myself? How great would the grace of the Lord be? But if our salvation was only achieved in this way, I would never have been saved. But the Lord came first to us, and He called us, and He walked with us, and will guide us to eternity. This is the beginning of our thanks and our joy. And thus we give our hands and our feet to the Lord. Today's scripture bears witness to God who came to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. When Zechariah heard from the angel Gabriel that his wife Elizabeth, who was beyond childbearing age, would bear a son, he could not believe it. And he was struck speechless. When Zechariah and the angel Gabriel were in the temple, the people were waiting impatiently outside. Today's scripture verse 21 says, "Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple." The people waiting for Zechariah thought it strange because the priest who burns incense does not wait, but comes out immediately and gives a blessing so that people will not have to wait too long. Burning incense is a job for 5 people, a priest and 4 assistant priests. And after the burning, these 5 people and the priests in the same division come out and stand and give a blessing led by the priest in charge. This is the blessing, Book of Numbers 6:22-27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.'" So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. The people were waiting for this blessing, and they were waiting long and hard, but Zechariah did not appear. Because the first high priest Aaron had 2 sons, Nadab and Abihu, who died while burning incense with a fire God had not allowed, it was an unwritten rule that the priest burning incense should come out quickly to show that he was alive. So Zechariah, whom everyone was waiting for, finally appeared. Verse 22 says, "When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak." When Zechariah came out, he could not bless the people. In fact, he could not even speak a word. The word of God from Numbers chapter 6 were probably spoken by another priest. Zechariah could only try to explain through hand movements what had happened when he was burning incense. And the people could only guess that he had seen a vision. Verse 23 says, "When his time of service was completed, he returned home." Zechariah, who could not speak because he did not believe the word given by the angel Gabriel, had to speak through movement or by writing by hand. But Zechariah did not blame God, saying, "How can you do this to me?" or "Go straight home." He was not angry at God. He waited in the temple until his division finished their time, and then he went home. This was because he had accepted that God had looked upon him. And he accepted that through him, John, who would prepare the way of the Lord, would be born. A Korean proverb says, "Even the mother does not know the thoughts of a mute person." Without listening to an explanation from the person in charge, we cannot really know what is going on. Because Elizabeth could not bear a child, and Zechariah was now struck speechless, people may have thought this family was doomed. But no one knew what was really happening to Zechariah's family. Another proverb says, "To suffer in silence like a mute person." This refers to a situation in which you cannot speak to anyone and you have to suffer alone. Zechariah and his wife would have suffered a great deal. The truth was not what it seemed. And they wanted to speak about the salvation of God, the great salvation that was happening. They must have suffered because people could not understand. But God's will was being carried out in this way. Verse 24 says, "After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion." As God promised, Elizabeth became pregnant. But it says she remained in seclusion for 5 months. We can imagine how much Elizabeth would have wanted to tell people in the village she was pregnant. She would have wanted to make right all the insults and sadness that she had endured. Above all, she would have wanted to say it was not because God had ignored her or abandoned her that she was barren. But Elizabeth put all these feelings behind her and stayed in seclusion. Verse 25 tells us the reason. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." It is not in our Bible, but verse 25 of the Greek Bible begins with the word hoti, which means because. Elizabeth saw very clearly. She knew that she had become pregnant even in old age. And that even though she did not defend herself to other people, she was recovered from her shame. And that this was all because God was taking care of her. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both old and had very little chance of having a child. That they were able to become pregnant with John, who would prepare the way for the Lord, was only because God came first to them and took care of them. In the hill country of Ephraim, there was a woman named Hannah who was childless. Her husband's name was Elkanah, and he had another wife called Peninnah. But Peninnah had a child. So Hannah undoubtedly thought that something was physically wrong with her so that she could not become pregnant. It was bad enough that she was childless, but the insults and shame that Peninnah showed her were almost unbearable. All that Hannah could do was to go up to the temple and weep and fast. Her husband loved her very much and consoled her by saying, "Why are you weeping? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? But this was no help. Hannah went to the temple and delivered a prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11 says, "And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" Hannah knew the only way out of her misery was for God to take care of her and remember her. This was a confession that if she became taken care of by God, her life, which was like walking through a deep tunnel, would be turned to light. While Hannah was offering her desperate prayer, the priest and judge Eli thought her a drunk woman and told her to put away the wine. Terrible advice that would have wounded Hannah's heart even more. Finally, Hannah became pregnant and in time bore a son and named him Samuel. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 21 shows what happened to Hannah next. "And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." Like Hannah's vow, she raised Samuel well until he was weaned and then gave him to the Lord to grow up in the temple. Samuel became the gatekeeper who closed the doors on the days of the judges, the dark ages of spirituality, and opened the doors to the era of David. God also took care of Hannah so that she had 3 more boys and 2 daughters. Forgive me for talking about my own story. When I was in my first year of high school, I came to understand and meet the Lord. I understood that the Lord bled on the cross for me and gave me eternal life. and not long afterwards. The pastor in charge of my church youth group suggested that I consider studying theology. At that moment, I told him no. I hadn't liked growing up poor, and whatever I did, I wanted to make a lot of money. I thought studying theology and becoming a pastor had nothing to do with me. Afterwards, his words stayed in my mind, but I tried to ignore them. It was the fall when I was in the first grade of high school. At that time, there was youth service at 2 p.m. that lasted until 4 to 5 p.m. And since the evening worship service was at 7 p.m., I had 2 hours of time in between. I would spend time in the corner of the churchyard reading the Bible and praying. One day in the afternoon, I was reading Ephesians, and then I realized my calling. Ephesians book chapter 1, 17 to 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. To me, this read as follows. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give Hanjo the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that Hanjo may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of Hanjo's heart may be enlightened in order that Hanjo may know the hope to which he has called Hanjo, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. I could not keep reading it further at this point because of running tears. It was as if God told me this. It is not because you are good that you came to know me. It is because I gave you the wisdom and spirit of revelation. Do you know why I called you? Do you know how much abundance you will have for the calling that I will give you? I said, God, I am shy, and I have little that I can be good at. And God answered back, I am not telling you to do this with your own ability. Do you know the great power that I will have when being with you? I could resist no more and asked one more question. God, there are many ministers in the world, and why should I become one of them? What do you want me to do as a minister? God answered me this way. There are many Christians in Korea, but I want their faith to be more mature. Can you do that mission for me? I was not very smart, nor did I do well at school. However, I cannot even express how great a grace the Lord has given me since then to have me understand his words. If there is anything good done for your spirit through me, even if it is small, that is not because of me. It is the work of God who came to me and took care of me. God's care is the beginning and end point that enables us to live a new life. Also, God's care changes our place in life in the kingdom of God, because the place where God dwells and the place controlled by God is the kingdom of the Lord. The year of 2014 is now at an end. Looking back at this year as well, we could have been far worse than now without God taking care of us. We might have not faced God in this place, but gone after worldly values and suffered from ailing selfishness. Therefore, even if we failed from a worldly point of view, even if we do not enjoy what we want, and even if we are not in a place that we want to be, we are all blessed people. I pray for you to become the hands and feet of God, and with that bliss, to take care of someone. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you did not tell us that we can only be saved through hardship or painful asceticism, but remembered us, even when we do not know God, took care of us to become your children, and thus allowed us to enjoy eternal life. We thank you that looking back upon the past sometimes, we were not alone. God was watching us when we struggled. God was with us when we were disappointed by God and turned our back on God. And God was reaching his hands to us when we were lost in our lives. Now help us live as those who were taken care of by God. Allow us to look at where God watches. Let our hearts stay where God's is. Help us not knowingly ignore the place where your hands and feet are needed for reasons of our comfort and our negligence, so that our life itself becomes a pathway showing God's care. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.